You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, good morning. It is 8:06 on this Wednesday, the last day of April. May Day tomorrow. Nice to have you here up north. Sam is on the board. Greg is back in an hour, along with Jane Mattenair from Mattenair on Air. Sam, good morning. I believe the folks online are becoming much more aware of your presence here. Shizu writes on YouTube. Good morning, Sam. So there you go.
Good morning.
You've got a fan. So.
All right.
Brittany Merlot is with us as well, our civic media meteorologist, to tell us what we've got. A day that is starting off very bright. Certainly nothing like the bumpy, stormy stuff we had on Monday. But again, bit of a roller coaster temperature and condition-wise as we go through the rest of this week.
Yeah, it really is. We've got another system sitting on our back doorstep after, of course, 4 confirmed tornadoes touched down in southern Eau Claire County and 1 long-tracked in Shawnee County. 80 to 95 mile-per-hour winds were in those tornadoes. EF0 to EF1 is what they were rated. And, of course, now we're trying to get past that severe weather with more rain sitting on the door. And, of course, we are looking at temperatures much cooler, too. Yesterday was a little crisp and cool. Now we're going to warm things up a little bit more mild into the low to mid-60s today. A lot of sunshine to start for a good chunk of the state, but it is cloudy far northeast. And the rest of the state's going to become cloudy as we go through the afternoon. So more and more clouds moving in as the system gets closer to us. Right now it's raining in St. Louis. That drizzle will be headed our way by this evening. Of course, the rain will be ramping up overnight, especially into our southern areas. And it's going to be working its way more widespread through the overnight and into tomorrow morning. So a lot of us will be waking up to a damp and dreary start tomorrow with the rain lingering. It does look like it dries out a little bit through the afternoon, but then we've got a front pushing through that's going to spark up some more showers and storms starting early evening far northwest and working its way ever so slowly through the state through the overnight. And of course, that's tomorrow night. It gets cold behind it, and it could flip to a few flurries flying around Lake Superior by early Friday morning before the system finally leaves us alone. So what it's going to do with our temperatures tomorrow is drop us down to the low 50s to low 60s, so slightly cooler, and then we are going to be even worse on Friday, mid-40s to only near 50 degrees for high temperatures. It'll be a cool and breezy end to the week, but then a high-pressure system moves in, and it brightens the weekend. We are all dry. We're going to be in the 60s on Saturday and nearly 70s on Sunday.
See, that's going to make so many people happy. And I believe the fishing opener is this weekend.
Yes,
so the governor's fishing opener is happening up by Rice Lake. And yeah, it's going to make a lot of folks happy. I know I did still see on social media yesterday or the day before somebody in the UP posing next to the, how much snow is still left there, especially on snowmobile trails where it was compacted. And so there's still a lot of snow cover left in other places. I know we've had years where the fishing opener was practically delayed because there was still ice on some of the lakes.
So I guess we're doing pretty good this year then.
Yeah, despite the cooler temps that I continue to grouse about because apparently that's what bitter old men do. But it has been nice. We don't have ice on all the lakes up north.
Right.
So that part is good. She's your notes on YouTube. Another good reason to live in Wisconsin, a decent water table.
Agreed.
Nice and fresh and continually replenished because of forecasts like that one. Brittany, thank you so much. Good to see
you. You're welcome.
Have a wonderful day. Hey, a reminder that if you missed anything we did in the last 2 hours here across the Civic Media Radio Network, you can head over to the Civic Media website. That, of course, is civicmedia.us. And when you go over there, you can learn all about the shows, all about the stations, especially with that whole new lineup. Now, this show going for 3 hours, getting a new name, as you can see up there in the corner on social media. You've got Jane and Greg from 9 to 11 now, Tom Hartman at 11, Todd Alba at his new time, 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba coming up at 6 o'clock this evening. So learn all about what stations have what shows over at the Civic Media website. And, of course, over what we're doing at Up North News. That site is upnorthnewswi.com. You can read about the stories that we're posting there all throughout the day. Also sign up for our newsletters, multiple as well. And you can reach the show here, of course, at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And it's not like we haven't provided a lot of fodder, either for texts or internet comments or phone calls. We have covered, just looking at my notes here, we've covered bubble tea, we've covered oatmeal cookies, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class, Sean Duffy saying we need to stop air traffic controllers from retiring and more people need to be out there making babies like Donald Trump wants you to do. Eric Genrich and Dan Schaefer about what Democrats need to do differently in 2026. And lead paint is still a thing in Milwaukee schools. When is the legislature going to take that seriously? And yet to come, we're going to be talking about power lines, power transmission lines, the great big ones. And how there is legislation out there that would change who gets priority when it comes to building lines in the future. And so Melissa Baldoff will be talking to us all about that in just a little bit over 20 minutes here as part of our climate check. And we'll check in on some other state political matters as well, all here on the program. Then tomorrow, usually on Thursdays at 7:30, we try to talk to a couple of legislators to find out what's happening under the big top in Madison. And so I've called on a couple of Chippewa Valley friends for tomorrow. So we will have State Senator Jeff Smith and Representative Jody Emerson will be joining me at 7:30 tomorrow to talk about things. Among the things we're likely to talk about would be something that's not necessarily in the legislature's avenue, although they're going to have to make up the difference at times with all of these cuts that Donald Trump and Elon Musk have been throwing out there. The most recent, again, look, when you think about, you know, the people who are wasting our federal dollars, all the waste and the fraud and abuse. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. Those veterans, right? What a waste, huh? Here's the latest one. AmeriCorps. You know, young people doing service projects to serve their community. Well, in the Chippewa Valley area, there is a facility called Beaver Creek Reserve. Does a lot of good things, but they were notified yesterday that their grant through AmeriCorps, the Community Corps and Recovery Corps programs have been terminated. It was something that took place immediately last Friday. The letter that they got from the federal government said, it has been determined that our awards no longer support governmental agency priorities. You must immediately cease all member and host site activities. This is a final agency action and is not appealable. The message went on to say that all members must turn in their host site equipment and return home. Now, Beaver Creek Reserve is one of five different AmeriCorps host sites in the Chippewa Valley. To get this notification, according to a write-up over at the WEAU TV13 website, the Chippewa Valley Museum and a Triple Play membership partner of Beaver Creek Reserve also was notified. They helped recruit and train new volunteers. The Girl Scouts of Northwestern Great Lakes lost 7 AmeriCorps members, 2 who serve in Eau Claire. Beaver Creek Reserve had partnered with the AmeriCorps program since 2015. And currently hosts 6 full-time AmeriCorps Community Corps members, 4 environmental educators, 1 volunteer coordinator, 1 avian field technician. They accounted for 33% of the organization's staff. The host sites paid $6,000 for each full-time AmeriCorps member. Wow. I mean, if that isn't just a... $6,000. Do you know what that pays for in terms of billionaire tax cuts? Anyway, Beaver Creek Reserve has some 13,000 walk-in visitors annually. They sponsor 33 summer camps, 40 spring field trips, 10 summer field trips. There's 65 different educational programs. There's a native plant sale, a butterfly house. These are all things that, again, strengthen a community, provide a sense of service, help preserve some of the natural resources in an area. And those were decisions that were made at the local level and at the federal government level to say these are things worthy of expending resources on. Shiju writes, I'm so sad about Beaver Creek. I just went there last Saturday to celebrate Earth Day Week. But again, just one more of the many things that in Donald Trump's first 100 days are being slashed and burned and going by the wayside. In our first hour, we played some. We played a cut from Sean Duffy, the Secretary of Transportation. Sam, I don't know if you still have that. You probably don't have it there in your booth, so I'll just tell folks about it. But he was on Fox News, and he was whining about having to be part of a day of delays at the airport in Newark, one of the three airports that serves the New York City area. The radars went down. There's a shortage of air traffic controllers. And Sean Duffy went on Fox News or Fox and Friends to talk about it and to say, well, if we could just get more of these air traffic controllers, if we could get the union to allow them to work longer than their current retirement. For people who have some of the most stressful jobs out there, and for federal government employees who have been told for these past 100 days that they're useless, that they're worthless, they ought to quit. You know, they ought to self-terminate and save the taxpayers money. Again, it's not going to save the taxpayers any money. This is an administration that is so anti-immigrant in any way, shape, or form, you know, people that don't look like them and think exactly like them, that they would rather tell some people who are stressed and near retirement to stay on the job longer and tell people to make more babies rather than acknowledge how overdue we are for real immigration reform in this country. And somebody put up a quote that I wanted to share from former President Ronald Reagan that he made late in his presidency about the power of this nation being built as a nation of immigrants. Ronald Reagan said, "You can go live in France, but you cannot become a Frenchman. You can go live in Germany or Turkey or Japan, but you cannot become a German, a Turk, or Japanese. But anyone from any corner of the earth can come to live in America and become an American. We lead the world because, unique among nations, we draw our people and our strength from every country and every corner of the world. And by doing so, we continuously review and renew and enrich our nation. While other countries cling to the stale past here in America, we breathe life into dreams. We create the future. And the world follows us into tomorrow. Thanks to each wave of new arrivals to this land of opportunity, we are a nation forever young, forever bursting with energy and new ideas, and always on the cutting edge, always leading the world to the next frontier. This quality is vital to our future as a nation. If we ever closed the door to new Americans, our leadership in the world would soon be lost." To which Donald Trump would look at that entire quote and say, "Mission accomplished. We're closing the door to new Americans, and we are surrendering our leadership in the world." And for that, all Sean Duffy has for an answer is, work past your retirement date and make more babies. They did. Why can't you? Thanks for spending part of your mornings with us live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Melissa Baldoff is standing by, joins us for Climate Check, and we'll talk some other Wisconsin political news Coming up in just about under 15 minutes or so here across the Civic Media Radio Network. First off in sports, the Brewers beat the Chicago White Sox Tuesday night 7-2. Isaac Collins hit his first career home run for Milwaukee, and Freddy Peralta pitched six innings of two-run ball. The Brewers are still on their longest road trip of the season, 10 games. They are now at 3-5. So if they can win tonight and again tomorrow afternoon against the White Sox, they will at least split that road trip. They're doing pretty well against the White Sox. They've won 11 of the last 12 games against the Southsiders, and they will do it again this evening. 6:05, the pregame begins on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. And even though the Brewers come home on Friday, it's almost as if the road trip continues because it'll be against the Cubs for a weekend series, and plenty of Northsiders will be coming up for that. And then there's the Milwaukee Bucks. They were up by 7 points with 45 seconds left in regulation. And I turned the TV off, figuring, okay, instead of being eliminated, they will live to fight another day. So imagine my surprise to look at my phone a little bit later and see that they were in the late stages of overtime. So I put the TV back on and watched the Bucks commit two turnovers in the final 29 seconds, and the Pacers go past the Bucks 119 to 118 in overtime for a 4-1 series victory. And again, the Bucks being eliminated in the first round, and again by the Indiana Pacers. We talked to Dan Schaefer, as you know, just about this time yesterday, and I said, well, if that happens, you know, we're going to hear it. We're going to hear it again. It's time to trade Giannis. It's time to trade Giannis. Dan Schaefer was like, absolutely not. Does not want to hear any of that kind of talk at all. Although it is easy to see that the window might be closing on the Bucks' opportunity to advance, you know, further into the playoffs than they have these past couple of years. It was just a rough one, but the season is now over for the Bucks. A couple of notes to follow along on the whole notion of Trump marking 100 days. Certainly there are comments out there about what I just had to say about immigration, saying, you know, this is all about legal immigration, and of course you don't want illegal immigration. I addressed that. I said, we need immigration reform. There has never been in our lifetimes a more important time to be pro-immigration than right now. This nation should be so amazingly pro-immigration, which means being pro-immigration reform. And last year, there was a bipartisan deal to get that done. There were so many Republicans in Congress that knew we had to get this done. And Donald Trump said, nope, that doesn't help my campaign for president. I've got to run with all this race baiting. You've got to kill this bipartisan bill. And they did. And so it would be easy to say, okay, Trump got in. That's what he wanted. He wanted in. So now pass the bipartisan bill and let him get the victory. Do you see this Congress rushing to overhaul immigration and make it easier to have legal immigration in this country? You do not. Because a bitter old race baiter once is going to be one over and over again. He does not want that. He does not want immigration reformed and overhauled. He would rather have the worker shortages here, as long as he can continue to make the political points and do other things like cut, Meals on Wheels. We talked about AmeriCorps in the last segment. Now there's a tiny division responsible in Health and Human Services that is responsible for overseeing services for people with disabilities and older Americans. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is dismantling it as part of all these HHS cuts. Meals on Wheels, kids. The tariffs, they continue to extract a terrible toll from Wisconsin, from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from early this morning. An Econo-Lok manufacturer has been pulled into the deepening U.S. trade war with China. Century Equipment Corporation, which makes sampling and process equipment for various industries, says it just lost a $300,000 order because the Chinese customer probably wouldn't have received the product ahead of a steep tariff threatened by China on American-made goods. The story by Rick Barrett goes on to say, Sentry had rushed to complete the work but was unable to get the products on a flight to China soon enough because of air freight transportation issues. The logistics were out of control, said Rich Gaffney, Sentry's vice president of operations, putting the employee-owned company in a tough spot. About 25% of Sentry sales are outside of the U.S. in more than 50 countries. And this is only going to go on and on with Wisconsin companies. We noted earlier a study that had been done showing that of all the industries that are caught up in this trade war, it's not just agriculture, manufacturing, timber, all these other things, that Wisconsin is at the top of the list. The only state that has double digits, 10% of the Wisconsin workforce works in industries that are going to be negatively impacted by Trump's trade war. Wisconsin is quite literally on the front lines, literally going to be, no, not literally, figuratively going to be hit first and hardest by Trump's wrecking ball of a trade war. And all kinds of folks who either supported Trump or don't care are going to get caught up in this and go, why? Why? We were doing our thing. I was delivering Meals on Wheels. I was, helping folks at the Beaver Creek Reserve. And suddenly all these cuts, why? Again, it's not going in your pockets. It's to pay for tax cuts for billionaires. That's exactly how this works. And finally, to close on immigration, there is a comment that says you can't have a country with multiple cultures. Well, that sounds about white. Melissa Baldoff is going to join us, and we'll do Climate Check and talk more Wisconsin politics live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You know, if you can stick around for one more hour, 1 hour from now, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be part of Matt and Air on Air with Jane and Greg. So you might want to stick around for that. And a couple of other great guests coming up on Matt and Air on Air. And then I'll be showing up on Todd Alba's show coming up at 2 o'clock here on the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, let's bring in Melissa Baldoff, a little climate check, a little Wisconsin political chatter. How's Melissa today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How about you?
Doing okay as well, because we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We didn't have enough time to really get into the specifics of a debate at the state capitol on a bill that doesn't really cut neatly across party lines. This one's all about, competition when it comes to new transmission lines here. And it's really got Republicans divided more than Democrats. But to boil it down to its essence, Melissa, it really is about whether state utility companies would get first dibs, if you will, when it's time for those new high voltage transmission lines. And the thing of it is, when we talk about climate, Melissa, transmission lines are their own kind of side issue in that, you know, we're talking about whether it's oil and gas and coal versus, you know, wind and solar. But even if it's wind and solar, you still need transmission lines to get that power someplace. And so it's something everybody needs to pay attention to. But it's almost refreshing that we have something here that isn't exactly just a Democrat versus Republican kind of bill.
Yeah, look, it's always good to have a debate, and it's good to have conversation and get to the best version of any bill that's going to pass, and whether or not, this is going to be something that does pass or not, and if it's something that the governor will support or not, it's always good to have a conversation in the public and get to the best version of something. So, we want to have that transparency, that sunshine on the process, and make sure that the public is aware of what the intention is and how we're going to get there. Because far too often, what we have is these bills that are put together, you know, in private by the Republican leadership, to, you know, to serve what their special interest friends would like to see. And that's what gets passed. And there's no public input. There's nothing that is serving the will of the people. So the fact that there's even a conversation here is positive. It doesn't mean that we're going to get to what's going to be the best for the climate, what's going to be the best for the public. Maybe we will, maybe we won't, but it's still a positive thing that there's a conversation here.
Yeah. And in this case, this version of the what's called the Wisconsin Energy Reform Act says that basically Wisconsin utilities would have a privileged position when it comes to, you know, new transmission line projects under the guise of, well, they're already involved in some of these and they would understand and the benefit. It's kind of like, you know, Buy American type stuff. But you also have people saying, well, that would actually diminish competition. And so ratepayers would end up paying more. And again, I'm not studied enough in it to know that one is necessarily better than the other. It's just kind of a refreshing change of position. It reminded me very much of my first year in the legislature, 2007, when we did the smoking ban. Now, there is near universal agreement that the smoking ban has been a positive for Wisconsin. You know, our clothes don't reek of ashtrays when we get home from, you know, bars and restaurants. People are healthier. The air is cleaner. But Melissa, you and I both know in 2007, it did not cut across party lines. And that was a spirited debate, to say the least.
Well, I'm sure it was. So that actually predates my arrival in Wisconsin.
Let me tell you stories. the main thing on this one is that it really was more of an urban rural, in that anybody who had mostly cities in their district, they wanted the smoking ban, and people in predominantly rural districts did not want it. They thought that was an infringement. And I had a district that was the north side, the northern half of Eau Claire, and then a whole lot of rural area. So, I mean, I was right in the middle. I was one of the deciding votes on not whether the ban would pass or not, but the folks in rural districts and bar owners especially thought, well, this is going to put us out of business. They wanted a phase-in period. So the original bill was like 30 days. They wanted like a one-year phase-in. I suggested, I believe it was either 90 days or 6 months, I forget now. And boy, was I vilified by the people who wanted the smoking ban immediately. They're like, oh, you're standing up with big tobacco. I'm like, no, we're still going to do this. We're looking for a compromise here. And it was very frustrating to have, there were so many Democrats mad at me because I wasn't putting the smoking ban in immediately. Well, in hindsight, of course, it doesn't matter at all, not right now. I mean, nobody remembers that debate. I don't even remember what my amendment said. I just remember at the time going, wow, we still do have debates sometimes on bills that don't cut neatly across party lines. And, you know, here's one of them. So, you know, it made for a great story, if nothing else. Right, Melissa?
Absolutely. I'm just glad by the time I did move here in 2010, there was no smoking in
bars. Yeah. Well, let's move then to a different matter of air quality and getting back to climate concerns. New story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Maya Pandy, I believe is the reporter's name. Headline, Milwaukee's air quality remains among the worst in the nation, according to a new report by the American Lung Association. Milwaukee, out of 228 cities tested for ozone pollution, ranked 26th worst, right behind Sheboygan as 24th worst. Obviously, a lot of that is related to industry, a lot of it from northern Illinois and Indiana, as well as southeast Wisconsin, and unfavorable, you know, environmental conditions in terms of how the wind blows and everything. But Melissa, this has been a perpetual issue, air quality in southeast Wisconsin.
It absolutely has. And this is something we've talked about before. And had, you know, guests on, we know that folks down in Beloit, some citizen scientists have studied this issue. But this is something that, one of the, I think, most notable pieces to me from this report is that in the Milwaukee, Racine, and Waukesha area, it's getting worse. You know, we know that it's been bad, but across the Milwaukee, Racine, Waukesha area, it is getting worse. And knowing that air quality is worsening is really dangerous. So what it noted is that between 21 and 2023, the area averaged 9.5 days a year of unhealthy ozone levels, compared to only 6.7 days in the previous year's report. And Racine County ranked the worst in that area for the ground level ozone pollution. So this is, really a big problem that we know it's continuing to get worse. On some of these factors, and that's a big problem. The causes, you know, there are many, like you mentioned, some of the producer pollution, also the extreme heat, drought, wildfires are some of the main drivers as well, according to the American Lung Association, that are driving the worsening air quality nationwide. We know, I think folks probably remember a couple summers back, wildfires in Canada caused some really significant air quality issues in Wisconsin and across a lot of the country. So we know that a lot is going on to cause this, and it's really a problem that's worsening.
And it's something that, as we've talked about it over the years, again, when people said wanted to debate air quality and some wanted it to be a state by state decision, obviously it can't be. We can't put up a wall between Illinois and, you know, Gary, Indiana, and other places. We can't put up a wall with you know, Canada and its wildfires. And so this needs to be a national effort. And we're only helping ourselves in the process. Again, we have people saying, well, you know, China's not doing their part, so, you know, why should we punish ourselves? Well, again, if we're always going to race to the bottom, then we're going to have air quality as bad as it was in the late 1960s and early 70s. And while things are better than they were, you know, the article does note that we're talking about something like 900,000 people are at higher risk in the Milwaukee area of the more serious health impacts that come with dirty air. This is not a, you know, pick on manufacturing story. This is a public health issue that just raises the point. We can always be doing better when it comes to air quality. You can talk deregulation all day long, but you can also talk about doing a better job of not polluting from the stuff that you're making.
Absolutely. And that's why it's such a concern what the Trump administration is doing at the EPA. You know, the EPA was established under Richard Nixon in 1970. You know, so for more than 50 years, you know, we've had bipartisan support for the EPA. And, you know, at times, of course, it's been, you know, stronger and, you know, had more teeth than at other times. But generally speaking, there's been bipartisan support for the EPA's, you know, kind of dual mission of protecting our air and water quality and enforcing regulations to reduce emissions and, you know, reduce pollution. And now we have a new mission at the EPA, which is to, you know, drive down the cost of cars and make small businesses more profitable, right? And we know that they are not going to take steps to hold polluters accountable and address air quality and water quality. And, you know, not just that they maybe won't have as strong of regulations as we would want to see, it seems that they don't really have any concern about enforcing regulations and really want to give polluters just kind of carte blanche to do whatever they want.
Well, I mean, let's call it what it is. It's a pro-pollution agenda that they have, and it was exacerbated Monday when nearly 400 scientists across the country were informed by the Trump administration that their services were no longer needed to write a major report on climate change for the federal government. It's known as the National Climate Assessment. It's done every 4 years. It was mandated under the Global Change Research Act of 1990. And instead, an email went out to all of these scientists and said, thank you for your participation. We are now releasing all current assessment participants from their role, because that's where we are nowadays, Melissa. We will look for happier news down the road here, but we always appreciate the climate update so people know exactly what this administration is doing. Melissa Baldoff, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Melissa, very much. Now, again, coming up tomorrow, we will talk to State Senator Jeff Smith and State Representative Jody Emerson as part of our weekly legislative update. I'm Pat Kreitlow reminding you that, again, it's all about every one of these words in our national promise, liberty and justice for all. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We've got Brewers baseball across the Civic Media Radio Network. Pregame at 6:06, Brewers versus the White Sox. You can catch it in Richland Center on WRCE or in the Oshkosh area on WISS, in Racine Kenosha on WRJN, over in Park Falls, WCQM, and of course the new Brewers affiliate up north, WBZH, in Hayward for Brewers this evening and again tomorrow afternoon. Let's welcome in James Kelly, Civic Media reporter from the Chippewa Valley in beautiful downtown Chippewa Falls, above the old Kinsella Drug there on Grand and Bridge Street. James, how are you?
Oh, I don't think that's what's below me anymore.
No, no. Kinsella Drug hasn't been there for a while. That's something our old timers say. I think it's an Edward Jones office now that's down there. But, you know, you tell anybody basically 40 and up, Kinsella Drug, oh, yeah, I know where that is. Even though it's been gone for a very long time. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Hey, we were just talking about air quality in the Milwaukee area and how bad it is and climate issues. Meanwhile, you have legislators from the Chippewa Valley who have introduced something called the Climate Accountability Act. And they've noted this and so many other things as reasons why there really ought to be a change in state law that makes sure that we take these kind of climate and air quality issues more seriously. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, so the Climate Accountability Act, which was just recently introduced, both Jeff Smith and Jody Emerson are signed on to it, as is Christian Phelps, who was there at the press conference on Friday, as was Jeff Smith. It basically just calls for the legislature to come up with a plan. For 2030, they want to cut carbon emissions by 52%. By 2050, achieve carbon neutral emissions. It's a lofty goal, but this specific act doesn't actually call for any policy changes, anything to be done. It just calls for developing a plan to get there.
Well, and look, that again, that is something as opposed to the pro-pollution stance that others might have. And, you know, they take note. I mean, right here in the Chippewa Valley, if you're going along 29 in Lake Halley, you're seeing a small solar farm that's out there. You note in your story that Xcel Energy is planning a 5,000-acre solar field, you know, in the near future. And there are other projects that are going on even as we speak.
Yeah, and I think one of the important things that Representative Phelps mentioned on Friday was that it's not really a partisan issue in his eyes. People that he's talked to when he was campaigning, whether they're Democrats self-identifying as Republicans, all of them care about conservation. They all care about the environment. I think that's one of the really interesting things about my move to Wisconsin was to find out, like, this isn't just a one-side issue. Every single person here cares so much about conservation and puts so much effort into protecting the state's natural resources.
Well, again, there are those who, I mean, they do say we should talk a good game. And then there's other folks that do want to see some more concrete steps that are taken. They care about the air quality and the resources. And it's not just about, say, you know, manufacturing industries. The same could be said for agricultural industries. We are seeing a growing number of factory farms, otherwise known as CAFOs. And, you know, my stance has always been clear that if you're going to have what's a so-called factory farm, well, then you better regulate it like a factory, no different than anything else. This is not simply a freedom to farm thing, shall we say. And in Pierce County, there are people very unhappy that the DNR has issued a permit for one of these CAFOs.
Yeah, the CAFO is Ridge Breeze Dairy. They're looking to expand their dairy operation by 5,000 cows, give or take. So right now they only have about 1,700. So that would be around 6,500 cows in total. Earlier this year, the DNR granted a modified permit to allow them to do this. But that permit does not include forcing the company to monitor the groundwater in the area. So residents are concerned about manure spread. They're concerned about nitrates in the water. And now they've filed to challenge the modified permit.
This, I mean, again, what did I just say? You gotta be as on top of this as you would a factory, and which includes all of the proper monitoring that has to be done. And we went through this right here in Chippewa Falls when they were building a sand plant here, right along the railroad tracks north of town. It's no longer a sand plant. It turned out to be a fad, essentially. But during the time that it was being planned, there was all this talk about, you know, the potential for silica dust and causing lung issues. And I was always amazed that there were people against air monitoring and having as many air monitors around as possible. So surely folks understand that in the case of this CAFO, monitoring is a good thing for your health. And if you don't want it, that's kind of a red flag that maybe you're looking for shortcuts when it comes to our groundwater quality and things like that. Joint Finance Committee was in Hayward, and in there I'm sure came up the notion of all of the healthcare funding that Republicans in the legislature have been sitting on.
Yeah, so that $15 million that was approved last year after line item vetoes from Governor Tony Evers to make it a little bit more flexible has just been kind of sitting there for the last year. We have had plans for new hospitals crop up. Even St. Joseph's could be opened as late as the end of this year or as early as the end of this year. But there's still a lot of help that needs to happen now and could have happened over the last year, where that $15 million could have gone a long way. The problem is, if we get through the state budget process in June, that money just goes back into the general fund. It's just gone forever.
Yeah. So, I mean, time is a-wasting, and it would be great if State Senator Jesse James and others could stop being Republican apologists and actually work for their constituents in the Chippewa Valley who desperately need to improve our healthcare situation here. Final note, of course, is that the governor's fishing opener is taking place this weekend in the Rice Lake area. Are you venturing up?
I am not going to be venturing up. While I did grow up along the water.
Okay.
Yeah, I did grow up along the water. I fished a little bit when I was a kid, but I was never like super into it. Let's wake up at 5 a.m., hop out in the boat, see if we can catch anything big. I just, okay, you know, a little bit of dock fishing.
All right. Well, we'll just get you up here on Lake Wasota sometime soon and see how you do, you know, without the pressure of the governor watching you, shall we say. James yeah. Kelly, Civic Media reporter in beautiful Chippewa Falls. Thank you, Jim, very much.
Thanks, Pat.
James Kelly, everybody, and thank you for being here today. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News. It's the Wisconsin home for Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow everything that we do over at upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you here tomorrow morning, up north, 6 a.m. tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.